Anyway, we continue with the candidates for 7th District Congress in the Democratic primary. Reverend Moja Jabu is one of those candidates. He joins me live. Reverend, how you doing?
Oh, man, God's good to me. How you doing?
So why are you running?
Well, Amos, I'm glad you asked. Let me say right off the bat.
You didn't think I was going to ask that question, did you?
Let me say right off the bat, I do not apologize for being Christian. So giving honor to God, who's first in my life, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to your listeners, especially those who will vote May 6th in the Democratic primary. I am Reverend Moja Jabu, a God-fearing independent that is running for Congress to represent the 7th District of Indiana. I run as an independent because I am in opposition to some of the official stances of the Democratic Party. The spirit of our beloved Julia Carson must rise again. She was Christian. I said she was Christian. Did I say she was Christian? She was unbought, unbossed, unafraid, and unleashed to tell the truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help her God. That spirit, like it drove Julia, also drives me. I don't carry her name, but I stand on her legacy, and even more important, I follow her path. I will not support the killing of a developing human being while it's still in its mother's womb, and let the birth of the child will cause the death of the mother. And still I would agonize and pray that our Father, which art in heaven, would not put anyone in that kind of position to where that decision was necessary to be made. I do not apologize for being Christian. Jesus is cited in Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 15 and 16. Which says to let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such of these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter into the kingdom. How is my question? How can the little children come to Jesus if their lives are snuffed before they get out of the womb? No, I do not apologize for being Christian. Bible says what you do to the least of these, you do to me. I will not stop children from getting to Jesus because when it comes time to account, I want to be able to enter into the kingdom. I don't support the official position of the Democratic Party, nor the position of Andre Carson to support gay marriage. I do not apologize for being Christian. Leviticus 20th chapter 13th verse says a man should not lay with a man as he lays with a woman. I stand with the word of God. That does not mean because I don't support gay relationships that I can't have love for gay people. I have family members that are gay. I have love for them, but I do not support their lifestyle. Because people are gay, I don't support them being discriminated against on the job. They shouldn't be discriminated in the use of public accommodation or anywhere else. I just don't support intimate relationships between people of the same sex. And for the life of me, I don't get why anyone wants to tell the public their private business. What you do in your bedroom is your business. If all are of the age of consent, then it's not my business what you do in your private world. I would advise to keep it to yourself. Gay marriage may be popular. In some places, it may even be legal. But Lord knows it ain't right. Slavery was legal. But who's going to argue that slavery is right? I'm spearheading the effort to get language that legalizes one to be enslaved as convicted of a crime removed from the United States and Indiana constitutions. If you're interested in signing the petition, Google my website, Ajabu Speaks. Go there and leave your contact. I will send you the link to the petition. Let me say it again. I do not apologize for being Christian. And as a Christian, and although I'm running in the Democratic primary as a God-fearing man, I have to be independent of these official positions of the Democratic Party and Andres, because I'm not a kino. That is Christian in name only. Faith without works is dead. I do not apologize for being Christian. And because I am Christian, I must adhere to Matthew 7th chapter, verses 3-6, which says the following. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is still in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. So before I go too far talking about the speck in other people's eye, let me not be a hypocrite without talking about that log that's in mine. I'm a man of many accomplishments. Minister of Social Concerns, Light of the World Church. Director of Truancy and Mentoring Project Impact Indianapolis. I was a talk show right here in this room with Unity in the Community. When I was in Atlanta, I worked for the Atlanta Enterprise Center, where I was a case manager and employment specialist. I also was the associate pastor at St. James United Methodist Church, which is located in Athens, Georgia, which is predominantly white and influential people. I also, while in Athens, pastored a church which we call the Light. And I attend Light of the World right here in Indianapolis. I was an instructor of electronics at ITT Technical Institute. I was an electronic technician at the United States Navy Weapons Support Center in Crane, Indiana. While in Atlanta, I went to the Interdenominational Theological Center, where I earned a Master's of Divinity degree. Before I left Indianapolis, I went to Indiana University, Purdue University at Indianapolis, and I earned a Bachelor's of Science degree in Organizational Leadership and Supervision with a minor in psychology. And I had a noted accomplishment in that I maintained a 3.6 out of 4 grade point average in the Organizational Leadership and Supervision classes. I also attained an Associate's of Applied Science degree at IUPUI with a major in Electrical Engineering Technology. And while there, I organized and was the first president of the Indianapolis chapter of the National Society of Black Engineers. And when I was listening to your show yesterday and you talked about the $7 million that Pike was awarded by the White House, and that the National Society of Black Engineers was going to help them to prosecute that grant, I had to smile to myself, because it was me who was the first president and organized that chapter here. I also sit on the board of the International Hunger Initiative. I was on the board, the advisory board of the IUPUI School of Education, to talk about how to get more people of African descent into the school of education and to become teachers. I was a committee member at the Indiana Church Federation. I was an ordination board member with the Disciples of Christ, and I am an ordained minister with Reverend, the Disciples of Christ.
You've done an excellent job, you know, stating the premise of the campaign and why you're running and your background. Let me ask you quickly before I have to take a break. What would you, if elected, what would you be doing differently than the incumbent?
Amos, if I can continue going, all of that is in what I'm getting ready to say, but I want to set it up. I came to lead. I didn't come to be diverted. I came to lead. And I'm going to talk about the incumbent. I'm going to talk about that speck that's in the incumbent's eye.
I want to give the listeners the fair opportunity because the purpose is for them to ask questions. Seeing their time to ask questions fritter away.
And what I want to do is give the listeners the background of who they would be asking questions of and who would be representing them, and not to be diverted by the press or anything else, so that I can tell them exactly where I stand. I'm a member and have been a member of the Concerned Clergy. When you talk about my recognitions and accomplishments, I organized a call to action film series and a panel discussion on slavery still being legal in America. It was called Slavery by Another Name. Late last year, ABC News Nightline featured me in an interview on race relations in America. I co-authored a chapter entitled Counseling as Much as More Than Counseling, which is a case study of a family in Zimbabwe, and it was published by the International Case Studies in Mental Health. I organized after-school program to implement Mind Over Media to talk to children how the media might be controlling the thoughts or influencing the thoughts in their minds, and that was done at Crystal House Academy. At the Indiana War Memorial, I gave a major address on the relationship of warfare to health care. That's when President Obama was initially trying to get Obamacare implemented, and there was so much opposition. I came out in support of that. At Indiana University, Purdue University, at Indianapolis, the School of Education, I co-taught a class on multicultural education and global awareness. At the 8th anniversary of the invasion of Afghanistan, I was the keynote speaker at the King Kennedy Monument in Indianapolis. And I noticed that you were the moderator at that event this year. And Andre was on the program. Did he show up? No, okay.
On video.
And then
he was working,
he was on the program. But I hear that often. He says he's coming, but he's not. That's one thing that's going to be different with me. At the Indiana Supreme Court, I organized a panel to include Supreme Court Justice Dixon on Judge Sonia Sotomayor's appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we talked about race, religion, and the law. At Light of the World, I organized services and receptions for Africans born on the African continent to give them a reception by us here in America. At the First Friends Church in Indianapolis, I delivered a major address on religion and health care. At the Riverside Civic League Parade, I was the master of ceremony for several years for that parade. At the Disciples of Christ National Convention, I organized another vigil for health care to help President Obama and to help people to understand the need for everybody to have health care. I organized a forum on domestic violence. The Indianapolis Monthly, December 2008, done a featured article on myself, which they entitled In Name of the Father. The Indiana School Counselor Association annual conference here in Indianapolis, I presented, dealing with the topic Working with Diverse Populations, a liberation perspective on school counseling. At the International Counseling Psychology Conference held in Chicago, I presented, teaching collaboratively about racism's local and global reality. The IUPUI Student Union honored me at their 39th annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. dinner and gave me the Drum Major Instinct Award. The Indianapolis Star in January 2007 did a featured article on myself that they entitled From Rage to Redemption, which was talking about my move from being the commander-in-chief of the Black Panther and moving to the ministry of which I am in right now. At the Interdenominational Theological Center, I won the Campbell H.V. Richardson a scholarship award. If we the can, state if, of if, Indiana.
I hate to interrupt you because you're going through. You're almost finished?
Yes.
Like a minute or less?
With that section. With the state of Georgia, they organized or actually recognized me as the outstanding citizen of Georgia. I say all that, and I won't continue talking about me, but I want to let people know of my background and how I am qualified to sustain this position.
All right, well, hold on right quick. Let me quickly go to the phones, and Damon, because I want to let people know this still is a talk show at 239-1310, 239-1310, or you can send an email, question for the candidate, at praiseindy.com, or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Let me go to Damon right quick, then I have to take a break. Hi, Damon.
Hey, I appreciate you, Reverend. You probably don't remember me, but I remember you. You gave me my first job when I was transitioning from the streets to the working class citizen. You gave me my first job. I didn't do nothing but install a toilet and a bathroom floor at one of your properties. And that was the first time I felt like I can really do this. And it pushed me to go forward and get my HVAC license. And now I'm a maintenance technician and have been one since 2006, but you gave me my first opportunity to try to do that. Even though I didn't do the job perfectly, you patted me on the back and told me that was a good job. You know,
all praise is due to God.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate that. But what I want to say is this Affordable Health Care Act, it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong, but I'm tired of going to places saying, oh, we don't accept that insurance. Oh, we don't accept that insurance. We don't accept that insurance. I want somebody to get in there and say, look here, if a person has insurance and their insurance is paid for and is current, up to date, hasn't lapsed, that they can be covered anywhere. Because I don't want to have to drive across town if I'm having a heart attack.
All right, it's a good point. Would you modify, Reverend Ajabu, the Affordable Care Act to allow full portability?
I would push for medical assistance because I support the premise of everyone should have health care. Mm-hmm. I support that premise. Not exactly how Obamacare is going to look after it actually gets implicated. I don't really know what that's going to look like. And I don't think anybody else does, but I support the premise. I don't support that you're forced to do anything. And if you don't get health care, then there's a penalty. I don't support that. But as far as the concept, I support that. But I also want to share that all those accomplishments that I have, to include helping brother get a job, you need to know that I came up on the rough side of the mountain.
239-1310. 239-1310. We'll continue our conversation with Reverend Moji Ajabu. He is running for the Democratic nomination for 7th District Congress. Whole lot more after these. With Reverend Moji Ajabu, he is running for the Democratic nomination for 7th District Congress. Couple quick questions, then I'm gonna go to the phones. Reverend, you're running in a Democratic primary. If you are elected, would you caucus with the Democrats?
I'm an independent. Amos, you have to know that I came up on the rough side of the mountain.
So you would not caucus with the Democrats. You would be considered an independent member of Congress?
If I can make my statement, then you'll know exactly where I stand.
All right.
Everything I have, I earned. My given name gave me nothing but a history of carrying the name that was the name of the people who enslaved my family. That initial given name was given to show we were the property of someone who had the legal authority to treat us as if we were less than human. That's why I changed my given name. However, with all of that I have accomplished, the Bible teaches us that we all fall short. I want to talk about some of those shortfalls because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to talk about specks in other people's eyes, which I plan to do, without talking about the log in mine. As most of you know, my son got into some trouble back in the mid-90s. He was in somebody's house without an invitation. When he left the house, the people he went there with, there were three people whose bodies no longer had life. Evidence shows my son killed no one. In fact, the Indiana Supreme Court ruled that there was no evidence that showed he killed anyone. Yet, although he killed no one, this system that has a history of enslaving us wanted to kill him. As a father, I don't and I didn't want my son to be killed for something he did do, let alone for something he didn't do. So as a father, I made some statements that were highly public in defense of my son. I truly believe because of those statements, the people running the system had second thoughts and offered to remove the death penalty phrase from my son's due process if we would agree to let the judge sentence him. Our family agreed, so the judge gave him life without parole. Life without parole is just a slower death sentence. The Indiana Supreme Court ruled that since there was no evidence presented that showed my son killed someone, then life without parole was an illegal sentence. So the judge resentenced him to 240 years. A death sentence by any other name is still a death sentence. Right now, as I speak, my son is in indefinite solitary confinement. He has been in the hole almost all the time that he has been in prison since 1995. I spoke with him yesterday, and he sends his love out to all who inquire, write, and ask that you continue to pray for him. The reason given for him being kept isolated in the hole is because the prison system ruled that he beat up a guard. This accusation was taken to a court of law, and the prosecutor found that there was no evidence, none, that my son had laid a hand on this guard. In fact, the evidence revealed that there was no way that my son could have touched this guard in a bad way or touched him, period, because the prison layout physically prevented it. And electronic evidence shows my son to be on the other side of the prison at the time the guard was beat.
Now, I need to hold you there because the purpose of this program is to allow the community, the listeners, to ask questions of the candidates. And I want to be fair to the listeners. I mean, I know they appreciate hearing about your background. I know they appreciate hearing about your journey.
Amen.
But with all due and the greatest respect to you, sir.
And
let
also
me
to
go
you.
To the callers. Anonymous, you're on the air. Hi there.
Anonymous. Anonymous.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going?
Fine.
Anonymous.
Hey, let me ask you something. Well, I won't be anonymous. This is Mayhem. Hey, let me ask you something. In a critical time, psychological eugenics is going on in the neighborhood. Why is it that the organization is set up for only so-called pastors to speak for black folks? There's more than Christians out here that need, as we say, young people need help. And it sounds like to me, my friend, you're having a meltdown. Won't you move out of the way and go sit down? Thank you.
Let me go to Karen.
No, let me answer the question.
Right, answer the question.
You said all right, of that. Let me answer the question.
I didn't think he was asking a question. Go ahead.
He did.
Very quickly.
I'm not having a meltdown. I'm having a melt up. And he makes a very good point that I've been making to this city about the violence that's going on in this city. When you talk about the violence in this city, if you want to know something about medicine, go ask a doctor.
And if elected to Congress, what would you do?
And again, Amos, for some reason you want to interrupt, and I know that you like Andre, and you want to protect him, and it's okay to protect him, but let me tell you what I'm trying to say. If you don't let me say what I'm trying to say, then the people don't know who I am.
Let me go to Karen. Karen, you're on the air. Karen, go ahead.
I don't get a chance to answer the question.
I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you something. Karen, you're disrespectful. I just want to let you know, because I talked to you in 95, long back then, and I let you know right then when you were saying what you were saying about your son. Those police ain't carrying that sword for nothing. I appreciate them being out there and what they do for us. But at the same time, I just want to let you know, with your lawless accolades, have you received the Holy Ghost since you repent? You need to read Acts 2:38. You need to be born again yourself. All that running around you doing, you still didn't get the simple salvation. You talking about let the little children come to you. You still ain't got the simple salvation that you need to get baptized in Jesus' name. Get the blood on you. Get that beam out of your line like you said.
then you can't see clearly how to tell somebody. You need to get the power to live what you say, because Christian means Christ-like.
That's why it's so important for me to finish my statement.
Eliminate the idolatry.
Karen, thank you.
That's the very reason why I need to finish my statement, so people understand that I am talking about that log in my eye. I can't talk about the log in my eye if you disrespect me and don't allow me to.
I'm not trying to disrespect you, but you've gone with 40 minutes.
I got a page and a half. And the whole point that I'm trying to make is the woman is exactly right. I can't talk about somebody without talking about me, and that's what I'm doing. I'm telling you that the system has got my son caught up in indefinite solitary confinement,
and the incumbent spoke publicly
about he was going to do all that he could to help stop that, and if he's done something today, then I'm walking on water. I'm talking about, I cannot believe that his grandmother would have said that she was going to help somebody to get them out of what the United Nations has determined to be torture. The United Nations says that if you keep someone in solitary confinement for more than 15 days, then it is a violation of international law and it's torture. I can't believe Julia, our beloved Julia, Andre's grandmother, would have sat by and committed herself publicly to help someone, and then when it came time to do something, she couldn't be found. That is the word that I get on Andre. I've spoke to 10 senior citizen facilities. Everyone to the point says, well, we don't see him. He said he was coming. He wasn't there. I even saw that at the King Memorial that you and the man moderated. He's on the program, but he don't show.
All right, so let me ask a very quick question.
That will not be me in the spirit of his grandmother. And I, beloved Julia, I will care for the least of these. I will step forward and advocate for the least of these. I will speak out against the locked up and the locked out, so that they don't be treated, tortured.
Reverend,
not me.
Reverend, so if you're elected to Congress, mm-hmm. and there's a conflict between an event here in the district and a vote in Washington, you would attend the event in the district and miss the vote in Washington?
Is that what happened?
Yes.
What vote was going on?
There's a whole lot of votes. You're all there.
But what vote was going on?
I don't know. You have to find out.
Listen at you. Here you are talking about there was a vote, and you don't know that there was a vote. That sounds like, again, you protecting him. There's a candidate's forum coming up Thursday that you're going to moderate, and he's supposed to be there. He ain't going to show. That's his whole thing. People try to keep Andre from the people because they know that he's over his head. Riding on the legacy of Julia, but he ain't following his path. If anybody's going to follow his path, it's going
to
be me.
Back to the phones and
on
Rachel,
the shoulders, and I stand
1310.
With the
Hi,
path
Rachel,
that she don't
air.
Carry.
Rachel?
Amen.
Yes, Amos, I am a very good friend. I was a very good friend of Congresswoman Julia Carson, and it just really it makes me laugh that this young man is talking about how he loved her and the great beloved Julia Carson when he objected her and everything that she did. If I'm not mistaken, he ran against her. I may be wrong about that.
No, you're right.
But he was never
right.
Okay. He ran against her.
I did.
And now he is trying to
but
use
what?
Her name. Let me finish, because we heard you for an hour and a half almost.
Not yet.
So let me finish. Let me finish, okay? But for you to try to use her great name, you know, to down her grandson, you know, I know that she loved her grandson and she was for his candidacy, okay? And, you know, for you to try to use her great name because the people of this district love her, to try to go in on her coattail, ride in on her coattail to uplift you. It's not going to work. We see right through it. A good candidate will listen to the constituents in the district, okay? You're not listening. All you're talking about, a good candidate is selfish. You're not listening, Ajabu. You're not listening to what the 7th District constituents have to say. All you want to do is give this long resume so you don't have to answer questions. It's not working. We see through it. Please, please do not insult our intelligence. Please do not insult our intelligence.
No. All right, Rachel, I need to move on.
So
let me go to Reverend Bob.
No, Amos, let me answer, man. Now, she done accused me of not loving Julia, and she don't know my relationship to Julia. Julia came to me when Andre got put in the prison, and I got him out of the prison. Julia committed to me. She said, Commander, because at that time I was Commander-in-Chief of the Black Panther Militia. She came to me and told me, brother, whatever it is that she has, I can get. She said that she was indebted to me for her life because I had put my son's life on the line to get her grandson out of prison. I know Julia. Julia told me that even she took a picture with me when she was trying to get the legislation concerning the sister that Rosa Parks. She wanted to take a picture with me and took a picture with me over at
Well, why are you thinking about the aisle?
Let me go to Reverend Byron. She took a picture because she wanted to have it to take the watchman. Why do you do that, Amos?
It's my show. When you get your own show, you can do that.
Reverend Byron, it's disrespectful.
Yes, thank you, Amos, for this opportunity. But, you know, as I listen and I hear all of the comments and I hear all of the accomplishments of Reverend Ajabo, you know, it takes some courage to be able to convince folk that you are worthy of those accolades. I myself walk in the shadow of confused folks, and this is what I am also expecting. Now, don't confuse my activities that I have done in the past with my future of today. I am in support of some of the things that my friend is talking about doing, because I do know how you can be slandered for no reason at all, because you just don't know. And that's all I've got to say about that.
I appreciate that. We'll take a break. You
need to let me finish my statement, man. Because the people are asking questions that I address in my statement. And I would appreciate if after the
break.
You'll
have 1 minute to finish whatever's on your statement.
I appreciate after the break.
You'll have 1 minute to finish.
If I would be able to show the respect that you've shown everybody else. To where is that?
Actually,
I
you've gone longer than any candidate has been on this year. Because you interrupted me. No, actually, you've gone longer.
But you interrupted me. That's what made it so long.
Well, I do have to play the commercials.
Please,
that is a requirement.
In fact, mine should be coming up, isn't it?
Well, you keep stalling it.
Come on, let it go.
We're with Reverend Moji Ajabu. He is running for the Democratic nomination for 7th District Congress. I'm going to let him finish his statement, but at 2:56, we are leaving whether you like it or not, Reverend.
Man, I run because I want to resurrect the spirit of our Lord and Savior, which Julia displayed. Julia was first elected in Congress in 1996. She championed children's issues, women's rights, and efforts to reduce homelessness, and was a staunch opponent of the war in Iraq. She overcame much and accomplished much and devoted her life by helping others do the same. She was elected to important public offices, but never forgot who she was, where she come from, or who she was there to serve. She was a staunch opponent of the war in Iraq and told hundreds of people at a rally in downtown Indianapolis just weeks before the 2003 invasion that it was an act of aggression only to protect U.S. oil interests. Truly, it's all in the name of greed and truly in the name of war, she said. We should have learned by the Vietnam War, but we didn't. On his own website, Andre acknowledges that Julia taught him as a youngster the values of compassion, integrity, and determination. What happened? Julia's position, as is mine, is America should not be running around the world fighting senseless wars. On the other hand, Andre has voted for every war this country has fought since he's been in office. He's voted for the wars of Libya, Afghanistan, and even the war in Iraq, which his grandmother stood in opposition to. What happened to the compassion Andre learned at the feet of his grandmother, our beloved Julia? Now that grandma is gone, and who is he listening to? He stands on Julia's shoulders, but his behavior does not honor her legacy, nor does he follow her path. If someone is following her path, it's me. Andre voted no on banning federal health coverage that includes abortion. In other words, he voted to use federal money to fund killing a developing human while still in its mother's womb. In my research, I was able to find no place where Julia voted to kill a developing human while still in its mother's womb. Andre carries Julia's name, but he's not an example of her legacy, nor does he follow her path. That's me. Julia won election as a Center Township trustee. In that post, she admitted welfare payments in central Indianapolis, earning a reputation for depending the poor that would last throughout her career. Has Andre established himself as a champion of the poor? No. That's me. I serve with the International Hunger Initiative to address hunger here in Indianapolis and on the African continent. Andre sponsored legislation that starves innocent men, women, and children in Zimbabwe. That's not the heart of Julia. We love his grandmother for all she did for us. But we must understand that Andre is not Julia. Her legacy resides in me. Yes, my campaign is founded on prosperity. However, I want prosperity to be defined by the absence of the poor, not by the presence of the rich. My position and definition is vintage Julia. Our beloved Julia continued to champion the cause of the underprivileged, including uninsured children, homeless veterans, and victims of domestic violence, to oppose the Republican agenda. In 2002, she was one of the few members of Congress who opposed authorizing military action in Iraq. She also sponsored legislation to protest and expand the railroad service Amtrak. When she went to the Amtrak facility, she was sick. The workers were concerned about how frail she was and thought management was treating her badly because they did not provide a chair for her to sit in. The workers, black and white, almost rioted out of love for our champion. But Julia caused the uproar to calm when she told them although she was frail, she needed to stand in order to build back her strength. She was loved. Julia was concerned about the least of these. She was Christian, and so am I. Prophet Muhammad, life yields good information, and I take no issue with anyone, including Andre, who chooses to follow Hadith, which are the collected teachings and traditions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But did Prophet Muhammad support gay relationships or abortion, as does Andre? So what does that make Andre? Muslim? In name only? Julia was a Christian, and so am I. Muhammad, peace be upon him, informed. But Jesus says, if there's a choice between information and salvation, then for me, as a Christian, there is no choice. I must choose salvation. Julia was Christian. Andre carries her name, but falls way short of carrying her legacy. Again, that's me. Julia, on her deathbed, stood with Andre because he was her family. She let it be known that she wanted her grandson to take her place in Congress. Her blood flowed through her grandson's veins, yet when it came time for Andre to stand with Julia's son and support Sam's run for mayor, Andre turned his back on Julia's seat and supported Melina Kennedy, the Democratic Party's choice. Julia took Andre in from her daughter, his mother, and raised him because he was family, yet Andre did not follow Julia's path. Despite this lesson of compassion toward him from his grandmother, Andre chose politics over his family. So I run to resurrect the lessons that God of justice taught us through the life of
and
Julia.
And our standard closing question with any candidate, if people want more information about your campaign, Reverend Moja Jabu, running for the Congress in the 7th District Democratic primary, how do people get a hold of you?
They can reach me on Facebook. They can Google Ajabu Speaks. they can email ajabum12@netzero.net, and you can catch me in the street. Andre! He's still here.
Thank you very, very
much.
Thank you very much for being with us today. We'll have more on the program tomorrow. Have a great day. I'm Amos Brown. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1.